Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the GoTo Book Club. I am your host for the day, Tim Berglund. I run developer relations at a company called StarTree. My guest today is Viktor Gamov. Viktor is the principal developer advocate at Kong, and he's also one of the co-authors of Kafka in Action. And we're here today to talk about that book and kind of anything else we want to talk about. Viktor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tim. And it's great to be here at the show. It definitely feels like one of these shows that we run in the past together. Hopefully it's going to be the same quality and the same success as we did with streaming audio podcasts and live streams.
This is not the first time Viktor and I have appeared on a podcast together. So you may get that idea.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much for GoTo to organizing this book club and to talk about the, as Tim mentioned, about the book that I participated in and helped to release. Yep.
A co-author. Just own it.
Yep. Co-author. Yep.
Yeah. At first, I looked, I thought it was Kafka in Action, like not doing anything with Kafka, and I was confused. Then I realized I just missed a space there. So it's Kafka in Action. So it's the exact opposite of what I thought. Anyway, tell me about how that was. All right. There'll be better jokes before we're done. So if you're listening, keep listening. Tell me about how you got involved. Why a book on Kafka? Why a book is a great question.
Why a book is a great question. And I think that this is this episode of Book Club very soon turn into kind of actor to actor type of vibe, you know, because the team is also a published author of multiple books on the different topics, including Kafka for Dummies, I guess.
No. Okay. Yeah. Stop. No. Stop with that. There was a kind of a sponsored data integration CDC for Dummies book.
Oh,
CDC. Listed as a co-author, and in truth, I was mostly a table of contents writer and an editor. But a couple of books on Gradle, I had a co-author with one, and wrote another one myself. So yes, author to author. This is your show, not mine.
Yes, you know this answer for yourself then. So why book?
But they may not.
But many listeners might not. So yes, it's a very good question. So first of all, the writing a book is a, if you're planning to write a book, it's the multi months endeavor where you need to scrap the time from different places. Usually this is not something your employer will be interesting to pay for, because they're interested to pay for their, for your services to do in work, not the writing a book. So usually you will be writing your book during your free time, which you might not have enough of free time. So that's why you need to understand why it's a very important question that everyone needs to ask themselves time to time. For me, it was writing a book about some of the topic, for me, it was always a milestone of not achievements, but at least something that I learned personally myself. In the past, my first book was about enterprise web development, where I shared some experience with my team in the consultancy when we were building a enterprise web applications for our clients. And we thought that would be great. At the time, it would be a great idea to kind of like summarize some of the things that we learned on the project. Same thing with the Apache Kafka in Action, where this book gives a lot of practical things, and being in professional services when during my time at Confluent, and being a developer advocate also at Confluent, I gained some experience of how the people use Kafka and how people should not use Kafka, and maybe kind of create something that will collect all this knowledge and create this milestone for me. Pretty much it's very similar. Writing a book is very similar like writing a thesis, right? You're working on something, you do research, you do peer reviews, you speak with the people in industry, and after that you publish your thesis. So it's very similar from the amount of effort and amount of the work that's involved into this work, including research and especially research and peer reviews. But here's the difference between between being peer reviewed with the academia versus the real world. Academia is less toxic than the audience because you cannot make mistakes, because all these mistakes now on paper, and people will point you every time they will have a chance. Hey, Victor, in your book you wrote blah, and this is totally incorrect. And now you need to own it, and it's going to be with you all the time. That's important. That's kind of downside of the book, writing a book. And the upside of writing a book is obviously, you know, you can always say, hey, I'm a published author. You can find my book on Amazon. Just Google me, or even just Google me. And it always works to on your resume. Works as a charm.
Absolutely. I have some friends in tenured positions in academia who might disagree with you
about
on which community is less toxic. That would be a fun debate to have. So you want to share knowledge, and I mean, you want recognition. So I think what both of us as published authors would say to our listeners, if you want to write a book, and to my friends who are acquisition editors at Manning and O'Reilly and so forth, I'm sorry, you know, first talk to your therapist. Why are you looking for validation here? Cause it's going to be a
yes,
lot of work.
That's
it's is, a hard place to get it.
That is true.
Yeah,
it is true.
But I'm glad that you were, because this is a good book. What was your approach? It's a book on Kafka, and I guess I want to be straightforward about that. That's part of what we're talking about today. What were you trying to get across to people? And I don't mean like specific, you know, stories from the trenches. That's not really how the book is written. But from your experience in helping people actually apply Kafka in professional services, and then explain it as a developer advocate and get people started with it. How did you want to make the book work given your background?
Yeah. So a couple of things like before I answer this question. So I was trying to be like early reader of this book for a very long time. I'm a huge fan of the Manning early access program.
It was in early access, and you were not originally a co-author. Right.
I was not originally a co-author. I was just there and being just a kind of like a reading things. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that my reputation helped me to get this point. At some point, the original author of the book, Dylan Scott, he reached out and said, hey, so there's something that I'm working on. There's a few ideas that I'm not 100% expert in, specifically like maybe in streams and some of the kind of like a Java aspects. I am a longtime Java user, and now I'm a Java champion, which means that I have some recognition in the Java community as a advocate for Java technology. So I know a few things about Java. I love Java and writing my stuff in it. And I was brought in as kind of like external expert to validate some of the ideas in the book, plus contribute some of the ideas where the original author was struggling to kind of like maybe add some sense. So
yeah, one of like the things said before, it's writing a book is a grind. It relies probably on free time. It takes place over many months, even years, and your marginal free time could change over that time period. So there are all kinds of reasons why you might bring in a co-author, right?
Precisely. Yes.
Yeah.
And plus, I came into the book not in the very ideal time of the world. It was during the COVID times,
Early too. So it was the particularly sad COVID times.
Yeah. And it was definitely something that, you know, you need to consider when, if you want to do this, something like this in the past. So one of the things that we knew when we worked at the Confluent as a developer relations team is the people struggling on some of the practicalities. So there's the things that people love to do. Oh, let's deploy distributed system and let's talk about the how the distributed consensus will work. Let's talk about the partitioning, consistent hashing algorithms, all this type of stuff that data engineers and data operations people love to talk about. Is the failovers, backups, and all this kind of stuff. But the normal people, like developers who actually will be using this infrastructure, they don't care about this. They want to know how the things work in order to write the apps. That's right. The things that we wanted to do. And with this book, we really didn't want to go into the world of, there's a book, Apache Kafka Definitive Guide by Gwen Shapira and Neha Narkeri and Todd Polino. Great book for all the people who like to grind into the world of distributed systems, consensus, how the things are working internally.
Written by authorities on planet Earth, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't want to go that route because why would we? You know,
why am I going to read Victor Gamov's book when I could read Gwen Shapira's book on
exactly
kernels?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Victor's a good
so
guy.
We took approach of the more practical. So we give enough information about insights of Kafka in order you to start doing. That's why it's called in action. So it's not in yes. depth or
and this
not
is the
internals. We
right.
want
this
you
the part
to get
one,
up and
like,
running.
Here's a mental model of Kafka.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Should I be excited or afraid of AI? The answer is yes, it's both.
Things are going to look so different in the next couple years. You will not be ready for the disruptions that are going to come.
I'm Jeff Nielsen, host of Digital Disruption, the go-to podcast for technology leaders.
Our generation's conflict, I think, is going to be emotional, not economic.
The companies that are going to win are the ones that have a couple of characteristics.
Stay ahead of the curve with Digital Disruption, available now on your favorite podcast platform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Explain the event streams, the way it was explaining the how Kafka stores the messages so people understand that it's not messaging system. Messages are stored there. You can reprocess them. You can enable, you know, security, all this type of jazz. Here's how you can do this. There's the practical recipes. Just go and do this. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of like a stream processing side of things with the KSQL, a little bit about connectors. So a little bit about everything. So that's going to be, if you want to start exploring things, and we have a lot of references to other books where we think that, you know, people can learn more, specifically some of the books that are already named. So it's more practical thing for just, you basically can open any place in the book and refresh your knowledge about topics and partitions or how to use a scheme registry in order to have put the structure to your data, this type of things. So that was the idea.
Yeah. So just kind of the top level ideas and then really how to the bulk of the book. I mean, I'm cheating. I'm looking at the table of contents right here. You know, there's like 40 pages of that. Okay, let's get your feet wet. Of kind of 30 pages of additional resources, and then the big chunk in the middle, a good 140 pages.
Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to do at developer.confluent.io, that website where we provide, you know, samples where you want to solve the particular problem. That's the most important thing when you're trying to teach someone from very beginning. You have a problem. If you can relate to this problem, this is a solution. If your problem is slightly different, should you use this solution? I don't know. But usually in the world of Kafka, people will have particular problems that we researched thoroughly through search engines, through the social sites like Stack Overflow, Twitter, and things like that. And we put these ideas into this website. We wanted to do like very similar, but without repeating the already existing the sources, like how to count number of messages in Kafka. So the same mental model, I always have the same mental model when I'm writing for this book. What is something that I personally would like to know if I would know, if I did know this like a couple years back? What is the absolute minimum things that you need to know in order to do the stuff with Kafka?
And that really seems to be the spirit of the book. Like, what do I need to know to build stuff? Now, in the model, this is a model that I've heard salespeople talk about. This is not a sales podcast. You and I are not people who, as they say, carry a bag. We're in developer relations. But this is an interesting kind of three-part model. They have this thing, you know, why change? Why Kafka? Or whatever the thing is that I'm selling. Why now? Right? So, you know, why learn a new thing? Why is it Kafka? Why now? And that's my question. Why is Kafka happening? What's going on with event streaming and event-driven architecture? What's your perspective on that? Why is it happening? Is it a big deal? Your thoughts.
So this is a very good question, and this is a question that I get asked a few times from many people who trying to start understanding what this fuzz is about. I think it is a slight paradigm change. I'm sorry, it's not sales podcast, and it's
we
not.
We have to say paradigm sometimes. It's yeah, I feel bad too.
I have to say this, but it is changed the way how we think about our data. So
is it
traditionally? I'm sorry?
Is it disruptive?
Disruptive. Maybe we need to find some synergy with the existing emerging technologies.
Thank you.
So good. We're very proficient on the corporate
corporate
language. So we know how to talk this. But
so, there's a paradigm.
Traditionally, the way how we're dealing with data is somewhere there. Someone put this data for us, and whenever we need this, we go and query this data. No matter the size, you need to find different solutions for size, for web scale, for mm-hmm. I'm doing this again. I'm sorry. with Kafka, we changed the way how data delivered to applications without sacrificing on the size and the scale and how we're going to be putting this data. So it's not your typical the messaging system, for example, where you just receive the message and after that you off you go. Kafka remembers. So whenever you think that, again, you might have a different use case for the same data, you don't need to ask someone else to resend this data back to you. And by data, it can be from simple like notifications or any type of messages that will carry some of the piece of information, or what we call it kind of notification type of message, versus data that carries a state change. So something is changing with your data. Your data is changing and you want to react on something when the data is changing. Traditional tools were not providing this these APIs or these ways how we can retrieve this data. It usually, those things are hidden inside of implementation. So every database always had this kind of like a transaction log, and all the changes that happened with your database were hidden for you because you were exposed and you would get access to particular data model that you need to deal with. With the Kafka, those tools become available, so you can listen not only for like business messages, like I said, like notifications or some of the changes that or someone calling your API, but also to the data changes. And the way how you start thinking about the dealing with this data is also changed the way you want to have real-time results. You cannot wait until your MapReduce cluster will be done with this particular job in order to calculate your some sort of like a running overage for the report of the
You cannot.
Yeah. So you like, imagine you wanted to get the result of transaction was declined or there was some fraudulent activity like a week after. Do you want this?
I mean, nice to know, I guess, but
yeah, but it's a little like, you know, you want, exactly. So you, it's better to be at least like a closer to real time as you can. So that's why the streaming technologies and technologies around the streaming data and the processing data with, as processing events as they arrive, it is now. Everyone wants to do this like right now. For the last couple of years, we've seen how the people transform their, the way how they look at their data. They're not looking at the data as a silos anymore. They want to look at the data as a something, as an asset. And, you know, something is happening with this asset.
Now, you and I have a lot of shared context on this. This is a story that we've spent time telling together. So if you'll let me kind of summarize that, you made an interesting point about how databases have always had this event log in them, but you never see the event log. Because who wants to see an event log? I mean, you usually don't want to. And if you do, you want to do like filtering and viewing and things. That's like something's kind of gone wrong if you're looking at a log. In a database, you want tables. You want something in a query language, like you're a human, something a human can use. But it's kind of like we're building our applications that way now, where you don't want to look at the log of what's happened in the business. That's useless. You want to place orders. You want to edit your account. You want to, you know, I want to add Victor as a friend in TripIt or whatever, so he can see my trips. You know, those are the things you want to do. And so there's this event log down at the bottom and these services built up on top of it that expose an interface, just like databases did. Now we're like doing that thing that just used to be inside MySQL or Oracle or SQL Server back in the day. And now that's our whole system. And that's a new architectural paradigm that Kafka is a big part of.
You mentioned this interesting point that we were limited by the tools of our generation and we force ourselves to fit some of the business requirements and the system designs into the structures that were not intended to be used, you know, at the by normal people. I'm talking about relational systems. In order to decouple typical process inside online shop, or not even online shop, in a retail store, you need to turn this model of the real world into something that will fit into relational model, into tables and relations and all these type of things, which we tend to learn to like love to hate or hate to love. But with event system, because everything in life happens with events. Life doesn't happen in batch mode. Life happens in the kind of real-time mode. And every event, everything that happens, it's basically event. You have a conversation with your friends. You received a notification or you received some update of some sort of like a state. And it's up to receiving part to make some reactions on this one. You cannot change events in the real life. When you said something that you're not supposed to say to your significant other. Only thing that you can do is to send another event to try to amend the things that you said. And it's based on receiving side, how they will operate with this data.
Yeah.
And react on this data. So
to be fair, up to the producer to send that compensating, create that compensating action also.
Yeah, exactly. So we were fighting with the, it's not the fight that we need to have with the, so the streaming technology versus batch technologies. It's more like I said, quoting for Howard Stark, we were limited by technologies of our time. We didn't have enough maybe resources to have this distributed event log during the times where we start thinking about our data. Even though log as a technology, as a paradigm, as a kind of like a pattern of designing the data system,
it's
was
hardly
there in transactional log, it's in database. So it was there. So we just kind of like how the people like to say the millennials discovered a transaction log, basically what happened. This is how Kafka came to be. So that's another spiral of the evolution of data systems.
So, getting close to wrapping up here, what are you up to next? What are you doing now? What's in your near future?
So I'm doing now is preparing for my presentation for upcoming current event. It's going to be our big reunion with some of the people who we work in the past. And it's going to be bigger than Kafka Summit, because this year Confluent bringing the different technologies in the place and how they work together with Kafka and maybe complementing each other and things like that. So that's going to be big milestone and big technology. I will be talking a little bit about infrastructure side of things for the people who like to do infrastructure. We'll be talking about the test container technology that allows you to test bigger and bigger and complex distributed systems without implementing some sort of kind of like a mocks and stubs, but using real applications that runs inside the container as a part of your integration testing paradigms. That's something that I am excited personally. Plus, the technology as a containers definitely pushed the accessibility part, accessibility of any system very far. So in order to run very complex system, you don't need to install everything in your laptop. Everything would be stored inside the containers, and you have a Docker Compose to kind of like a orchestrate this thing, so you can run the complex example in your computer and use the similar approach, but more programmatic approach to testing your systems.
I guess I should say we're recording this. The day we're recording this happens to be September 21st today. Not sure when this is going to air. So current may already be in your rearview mirror by the time you hear this. But Victor's talk will be available as a video, I'm sure, on that website, or poke around there. And we can either put a link in the show notes to that conference website, or you can just Google current. Actually, don't Google current. That's not going to work very well.
Yeah,
maybe like Confluent Kafka
conference. That's a very interesting choice. Or, yeah.
It's Apache cool. Kafka, I get it. Like summit. Now, kind of happening in this real time and all that stuff. It totally makes sense. It's and you know who's talking trash right now? The individual who's talking trash is the one who named his event-driven architecture Kafka podcast streaming audio, which is equally clever and cool and trash to Google. So
totally difficult to Google it.
SEO fail, but cool name. So with that right there. Anyway, check that out. And hey, I can shamelessly plug just because I'm the host. I'll also have a talk at Current about Apache Pinot, which is a real-time analytics database. That's a great compliment to Kafka. Kind of plugs into the ecosystem in an interesting way. Victor and I will both be there. And it's actually kind of fun. We're looking forward to it. Two of our other former colleagues, Ricardo Ferreira and Robin Moffitt, we were together, really the four developer advocates at Confluent for a while. We're back together. Austin, look out. It's going to be a great time. Or maybe by the time you hear this, it was a great time. We're looking forward to it.
And you learned something from local news about how the things
yes,
went.
Certainly. Certainly. That I'm sure that'll show up. It'll trend in Twitter. Victor, this is unplanned, but will you do a lightning round with me as we close out?
Please do. By all means, that's something that I really like to do.
Okay. Favorite MCU film?
Iron Man.
Favorite film director?
Christopher Nolan.
Most recent song you've listened to?
Most recent song I listened to is the Highway to Mars by Finnish heavy metal band Beast in Black.
Didn't see that one coming. The other one's actually...
Yep, folks, I did. Yeah.
See the other one's coming. Give me two or three important books that you've read that you think other people should read.
If you in developer relations role, please find yourself time to buy a book called People Power. It's about building communities, and the book called Business Value of Developer Relations. First one by Jonah Bacon, second one by Mary Trangwell. Very inspirational books. If you're in the data world and you would try to get yourself into understanding all this architecture, Designing Data-Intensive Applications by Martin Kleppen. Probably the best book that you can read to get started in this data world and try to understand where everything fits together and how everything works together and why are there so many different data systems and distributed systems in general. So it's a brilliant book. I highly recommend to everyone. And you can also read this kind of from first page to last page, but you can also read this by chapter if you're interested in a particular topic. There's a bunch of things that eye-openers. And Martin Kleppen has fantastic language to explain complex things.
Yes, and I think if you drew a graph of all of the books and blog posts and talks and ideas in event-driven architecture and had directed edges of this idea owes something to this one, just kind of built up that graph, the Martin Kleppen node would be heavily connected. The degree of that node would be very high.
Yes.
I think he's kind of the source of a lot of the key ideas.
And he was involved in some open source project, including Kafka, including SAMHSA, including some other things, Avro.
Yeah. And some might argue Jay Kreps needs more edges on his node there than I'm painting in that picture. And that's likely true, but a lot of these ideas come from Kleppen. He's an important thinker. And final question, current top recommended Instagram follow.
I quit Instagram for a very long time, but you can follow TL Berglund, very good account. I always have
Tim L. It's unfortunately Tim L. Berglund. It's not TL Berglund. TL
okay,
is
so
taken.
It's not anymore.
I don't know who that guy is. It's Tim L. Berglund is what it always
Tim L. Berglund, very good account. I highly recommend to follow.
This message brought to you by Tim Berglund. No, actually, this wasn't planned. Thanks, man. That's nice of you.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess
I realized that I spent too much time on social media, so I'm trying to kind of like.
And I realized the other day, I sent you a reel and I realized I haven't gotten a reel from Victor in a long time. I wonder if he's mad at me, but that's because he hasn't been on Instagram. So,
I'm one of those people, there are some people that always threaten to leave the social media. I never did this, but I just, silently quit.
You just do it. You don't have a big post about, people, I'm leaving. Yeah, that's really not your style. You could just do rather than talk. All right.
Yes.
Victor, it's been great to talk.
Yes. So check out the kafkainaction.org. You can use the Kafka A35 to get the 35% discount for any edition. You can get the electronic edition. You can get the printed edition. It works only on Manning website. If you are got this book, write the review on Amazon. It will help a lot. That
five stars
is... Yeah, that you can be honest, but good review helped to promote the book, and we really tried. We really tried hard. It was not half-assed job. It was like 100% like full dedication, this one. So
absolutely.
Like, trust me when I said that it was not easy, but we made it, and I hope you like it.
The change in software architecture paradigm is happening, and you don't really have a choice about that. But you do have a choice about whether you're going to know what's going on. Kafka's a key part of that. So check the book out. Victor, always a delight. Have a good one, man.
My name is Victor Gamoff, and as always, have a nice day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.